Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
And welcome to a Championship Sunday edition of TC Live. Where did you come from? Where did you go? It's Jesse Pegula. Now you know. 6-1-6-0, first title of the season for the top-ranked American. And how about just 48 minutes of work? Absolutely destroys Ludmila Samsonova in the Montreal final. Another 1,000 title for Jesse Pegula. Come on into the studio, Steve Weissman, alongside Chanda Rubin. We got to step up our game on Championship Sunday. We got the former world number six in the house. And, of course, the Hall of Famer Andy Roddick on the big screen. What a big win for Jesse Pegula. First American to win this title, Andy, since Serena did it 10 years ago, her second 1,000 title, and now up to a career high, number three in the world. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, there was some violence in that performance, Steve. I'll tell you that much right now. We should hide the children. They shouldn't be watching violent acts like Jesse Pegula just put out there. But listen, I'm looking at the returning statistics from Jess this week, and even in the last two matches, Iga Swiatek won 44% of her total service points. Today, Samsonova won 38% of her total service points, not second serve points. Total service points. Jess Pegula put on an absolute clinic on the return side of the game this week. It was awesome to watch.
Not only that, she won 19 of 19 first serve points today. Perfect was Pegula. What stood out to you?
You know, I think it's just the comprehensive tennis that she has been playing, and especially against these last two opponents. She had to step up her level against Iga Swiatek, and she was able to do it in the big moments. And, you know, you talk about her serve. That's been a bigger weapon in Pegula's game. She understands how to use it. But on returns, she is just simply lethal. She's hitting outright winners at times off of shots that are coming at her so quickly, and she's redirecting. And it just looks so comfortable out there. She's not giving up a lot of ground. She understands how she wants to strategically play a lot of these points. And again, Samsonova coming up with those kinds of winners, the cross-court pass there, the flick of the wrist. And Samsonova was nowhere near that shot. It is difficult to do against a player who hits the ball as big as Samsonova, but Pegula just didn't allow her to get into a good rhythm. And unfortunately for Samsonova, she didn't start well. And I was surprised by that. I thought with her having played a match earlier in the day, getting through her Rybakina the way she did, she'd get off to a quicker start, but she didn't, and Pegula took advantage of it, and she's such a front runner as well. There are so many checks in the Pegula column, and she did it here in one of the biggest moments in her career.
We will get you out to that trophy ceremony here from both Ludmila Samsonova as well as Jesse Pegula, but we'll continue to talk about the fantastic performance up until that point. And Andy, gotta spare a thought for Samsonova as well, who beat two top five players this week, had only beaten one in her career before Montreal.
Yeah, listen, you can't control weather, but just on the eye test of the speed that she's able to create off that forehand side, kind of has that like hitch in her forehand where it's upright, and then all of a sudden she creates speed with that racket at the end of it, especially when she's pulling it to the forehand side. Some serious speed, the ability to create off of dead balls, and played great stuff this week. Obviously, it was going to be a challenge today after Mother Nature had other ideas for her scheduling with canceling the match last night. Gets through Rybakina, and what's your reward? Playing Jess Pegula like an hour and a half later. Brutal setup, but is what it is. And she's going to be taking a lot of positives out of this week, even with the 1-0 that Jess Pegula put on her today.
You mentioned it, Chanda, just the way that Jess has gone through this draw, because it was not an easy draw for her, playing her doubles partner, playing the world number one, and then finishing with the power of Samsonova. But her consistency with very different varieties of games that she's gone up against has been almost perfect.
I was impressed with how well she played against Coco Gauff, who has, you know, had a sort of renewed idea of how she needs to play. And Gauff's been, aggressive and using the forehand, playing a little bit differently. And Jessie Pegula was able to adjust. That is not easy in real time. You see that scoreline, 7-5 in the third. It was a battle all the way through, and in crunch time, she was able to get it done, and that helped her against Iga Swiatek. She really could have gotten that match finished in two sets. She was ahead throughout, but she was able to reset in the third. Pegula did, and against the world number one, just kind of out-hit her and was out more consistent in doing so. And that is, again, not an easy thing to do when Swiatek gets a lead, and Pegula was able to turn that around. So I think we're seeing a level of tennis that doesn't always look spectacular, but it's spectacularly good. And it's just been impressive to see it the last three rounds in particular, but it's the way she's played all year and certainly the last two seasons, and we're just seeing it at a new level.
Doesn't always look spectacular, but it is spectacularly good. Hard to say as well, Andy. But what does this mean for just getting this big title heading into the U.S. Open?
Well, it's huge. She's done it a little bit differently than the successes we've seen on the WTA Tour over the last maybe 4 or 5 years, where, you know, women have won a slam and then the search for consistency starts, right? Like Rybakina broke out at Wimbledon. We knew the upside, but then she figured out how to be consistent throughout. Iga Swiatek broke out at Roland Garros a couple of years ago and then found the consistency afterwards. Pegula had the consistency going in. What was missing is the big titles like the Masters 1000s. And now we have to seriously discuss her chances at a major. Can she get past that quarterfinal kind of jinx round into the semis, into the finals? Is that nerve set different than it is in a Montreal? But I mean, the consistency has been there. She fights week in and week out. She plays a heavy schedule, shows up and competes every week. There's just so much to like about Jess Pegula.
Yeah, and plays singles, plays doubles at the majors, yeah. Plays mixed as well. And she's a top five player. The only top five player in both singles and doubles in the world right now, men's or women's side. She's doing it all, and she loves, obviously, playing tennis. But how about the fact we've been talking about a new big three on the women's side, right, with Iga Swiatek, Aryna Sabalenka, and Elena Rybakina. If you're Jess Pegula, and your ranking is right up there with them, and you're able to beat them, do you have a little chip on your shoulder saying, why not me? Why aren't you talking about me in that group?
You know, I don't mind a chip on the shoulder. I mean, that always helped me as a player. And I think for some players, it absolutely is a motivator. So maybe you create some chips on your shoulder, even if it's not there. I think for Pegula, she's always been a well-respected, dangerous player, especially when you look at the ones at the top of the game. They know how well she can play. So I don't necessarily think it's a chip on her shoulder because of that. But absolutely, the average fan may be not putting enough respect on her name. And so why not just push your way into that conversation and make them talk about you? And she's doing that, certainly with this kind of win.
Absolutely. You win titles, they'll start talking about you. And they are talking on court now. It is the trophy ceremony in Montreal, and we send you back there to take a listen.
Go ahead, Ludmila, the mic is yours.
First of all, I want to say big congrats to Jessica and her team because you made an incredible week, so congrats. Then I want to say a big thanks to my team for being by my side, and I hope many more to come. A big thanks to also the Bank Nacional, the main sponsor, and the fans this week. Guys, you were unbelievable. You make me crazy, seriously. And I hope to play another great level. Thank you so much.
Don't go away, Ludmila. I'd like to invite Mr. Don Pickett of National Bank to present flowers to our runner-up. Tennis has fallen down the roof. Et maintenant, j'invite Madame Étienne Cloutier de Rogers à remettre le trophée à notre finaliste. En
notre finaliste 2023, Ludmila Samsonova. Et maintenant, mesdames et messieurs, la championne du simple 2023, it's now time to crown the singles champion of the 2023 National Bank Open. Accueillons des États-Unis, from the United States of America, Jessica Pegula.
Hi everyone. First, I just want to say congrats to Ludmila, to you and your team. You've had an amazing week. You're an amazing player. I really wish you all the continued success, and I think everyone needs to give her a round of applause because she's played like 5 matches in 3 days. So congrats to you guys. I'm sure you've had a long few days, so get some rest. But again, I'd like to thank my coach David over here. It's pretty much my team, part of me and him. thanks for getting me through this week. We've been improving, it seems like, every tournament and every year, and it's just crazy journey the last couple years, but it's coming full circle when you can win big events like this. So thank you so much for the week. I'd also like to thank obviously the sponsors, Bank National and Rogers, for again putting on a great event. I love coming to Canada. I love playing here. It's been really special. I'll say shout out to my grandma. She's from Montreal, so that's kind of cool. She's watching. She'll be really excited that I just said that. So, but thanks, you know, for this amazing tournament, for the volunteers, the ball kids, the sponsors, everyone that helps put this event on, especially with all. Ball kids, go ahead. You can go. Come on. Everyone that has helped put this event along, and just with all the crazy weather we've had, I know you guys were working around the clock to make sure everything was happening and that the players got everything we needed. So thanks, guys, so much for that, for everyone that's helped out. And last but not least, thanks to the fans. You guys are amazing, like, really. Filling up this huge stadium, it felt like all week, at least every time I played here, it was full. And for us and for women's tennis and women athletes, it means a lot to us to be able to come here, because that's why we play. We want to play in front of this atmosphere, in front of you guys. So you guys make it really special. So I think that's all I have to say. So thank you, everyone. I appreciate the support.
J'invite Madame Edith Cloutier à revenir sur la scène pour remettre un bouquet de fleurs à notre championne.
Oh, there she is, Jessie Pegula, your winner in Montreal. We mentioned that she was the first American woman to win this title since Serena 10 years ago. First American woman to win the title in Montreal since 1998. Monica Seles did it back then. Andy, I don't know if you saw it. At the end of the match, the DJ played Cotton Eye Joe, which obviously came on yesterday during the match against Iga Świątek, and she had lost like 12 straight points after that, came back and won. But it all comes together with Cotton Eye Joe at the end.
Listen, the only time that Pegula looked suspect the entire week was for the 12 points in a row that she lost to Iga after that song came on. You know, I don't know. Maybe it's one final time for Cotton Eye Joe, because I don't know that anyone needs to hear it again. But I know what it's not the last time is just Pegula winning tennis tournaments. Very gracious at the end, connected her family ties. And, you hear that and the humility in her voice when going through that speech, and you realize why she's so respected and liked on tour.
I mean, that is your top ranked American in the world, man or woman. And she has held that mantle for at least a year at this point, over a year at this point. And we talk about the respect. You know, you win these titles and people start recognizing, okay, Jessie Pegula is leading our country right now.
I mean, you know, she looks very comfortable with that mantle. It's sitting very well on her shoulders. And even when you consider the relationship she has with Coco Gauff, sometimes a little more of a mother, but very much, you know, still a competitor out there. They play doubles together week in and week out. And she's really leading by example. And I think that's huge. You think about how tough it was for Pegula at the beginning of her career with injuries and the stops and starts. And she didn't really get a chance to stay out on court consistently until a little bit later, you know, later than a lot of these young players coming out. So I think she has the not only the experience, but she has the perspective as well. And I think that helps her in these moments. So it's just all coming together for her.
Yeah. Big congratulations to Jess. She is on to Cincinnati and we are on to Toronto because that is where the men's final went down today between Jannik Sinner and Alex de Minaur. Kind of like the women's final is pretty quick one, Andy. Both of these guys looking for their first Masters titles.
Yeah, and you're in trouble when Jannik Sinner is hitting these depth topspin lobs to go with the power that he has on both sides of that racket, Steve. But de Minaur has been doing all week, not scared to come back and doesn't shy away from a challenge, breaks right back. But then Sinner too much. How are, if de Minaur, you know you have to get forward, you know that you have to create, but how are you going to do it off a ball like that consistently, Steve? Sinner is just constant pressure. He doesn't let you off the mat. He doesn't let you breathe. And for de Minaur, it's what are my options? And then if he's throwing in that as well, when you know that you have to be 3 or 4 feet behind the baseline, I'm just not sure. You know you have to solve a problem, but you just can't figure out what the equation is. And that's where Sinner was today. If he's hitting down the line winners on the run, sliding into the forehand and the backhand, at this point, sense of inevitability had already been there for 10 or 15 minutes. First Masters 1000 win for Jannik Sinner. Certainly not going to be the last.
And he's just 21 years old. Looks good on him. Let's hear from Jannik Sinner.
Every opponent here is a very, very tough player to play against. And I felt the pressure. I'm not going to lie, but I think I handled it very well. No? Trying to play point after point, staying in the present moment, treating everyone with the right respect on the court. And so I'm happy how I handled the situation.
The Kuruta boys are going to be partying wherever they are right now. Jannik Sinner, first Masters 1000 title. Second Italian man to win one, the youngest to do it. Rankin gets to a career high 6 in the world, so matches Chanda Rubin right now. 41 wins this year, that's the fourth most. He's won 80% of his matches. Chanda, what stood out to you and impressed you the most with what Jannik Sinner was able to do to get this Masters title?
You know, I think it was just the big game that he brought to whoever he played against, different styles of opponents. He dealt with some guys who were so quick around the court, who cover a lot of ground, who get those extra balls back, and he still just looks so comfortable producing that kind of power, but still with enough consistency in crunch times, especially. And the serve, it's such a big weapon, and you kind of look at, you know, other styles. You look at Carlos Alcaraz, who Tommy Paul beat as the world number one, and then when he had to contend with Sinner, it was just a different style. He's serving big. He's hitting big, a little flatter, with depth from the ground. He takes space away, staying in tight, and it's just a different set of challenges that opponents have to contend with, and he looked so good when he needed to and when the moment was at hand, handling it, and I think that, for me, was most impressive.
This was a rematch from the next-gen final back 4 years ago. I mean, these guys have grown up and ready to go. Jannik Sinner, Andy, turns 22 on Wednesday. We know about Novak Djokovic. We know about the world number one, Carlos Alcaraz. Where do you put Jannik Sinner in the mix at the U.S. Open in terms of contenders?
Yeah, I mean, I think Alcaraz and Djokovic are on a different level as far as choosing your favorites right now. Even with Alcaraz losing this week, I don't put much stock in that. He was a little angsty, maybe just trying to find his footing. You know, if you didn't know, he had a pretty big win last month that he's still getting used to. And you know Novak's going to come back and not really miss a step. But one of the things that was really impressive to me, Steve, is that, listen, there wasn't an Alcaraz waiting for him. There wasn't a Djokovic in the draw this week. Obviously, Rafa's out. There's not a Federer lurking over the draw anymore. So as far as opportunity knocking, listen, you're playing Tommy Paul in the final, who is Tommy Paul's a great player, but maybe not with the names that I just mentioned. And then de Minaur and Fokina on the other side. You're going into that semi as the favorite in that tournament as far as who's left with Sinner, which creates a different type of pressure set. I loved seeing him just go out and suffocate the field once he was the favorite. I think that's something that is natural. It's maybe not a learned behavior. Breaking through to the semis at Wimbledon, following up at the Masters 1000, he's quickly gaining on the lead pack.
That's such a great point. He's taken each and every step on the way. That first major semifinal, now first Masters 1000 title. Maybe what's next is first major final or title. A lot still to discuss here on TC Live. We've got the best of the best from the week in Montreal and Toronto. Plus, a lot of guys already on to Cincinnati. Main draw kicking off today. We got the good friends Ben Shelton, Chris Eubanks playing doubles together in Cincy. But first, only one of them would advance to the second round in singles. This match is coming up and much more.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Tana, Steve, Andy back on TC Live. There they are, the winning team. Jessie Pegula, her coach David Witt. Pegula winning her second 1,000-level title, first of the season. Just 49 minutes in that final against Samsonova. Quickest WTA final in more than 2 years. And guess what? Chan is still winning with Samsonova because picked the semifinal over Rybakina. You're up to 16-19 Chanda bucks.
Any Chanda bucks is good bucks, I guess, Steve. I'll take it.
I mean, you're up to 40 wins this year. That is impressive right there. That is a mark you want to get to. And to get to 50, who do you have for your pick of the day tomorrow?
I'm putting 5 on Sloane Stephens over Cocioretto. Come on, Sloane. I mean, she played well, this week. And Canada had a nice first-round win over Kalinina. Not easy to get through. Had a nice match against Rybakina. I think she's due for some wins, and this, I think, is a manageable one.
All right, Sloane, just putting 5 on you. Right now, customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to start making every moment more. Main draw getting underway today on a Sunday in Cincinnati. So we head there, and take a look at this. Ben Shelton, Chris Eubanks, they're good friends. They played some Challenger finals last year against one another. Chris beat them in Mallorca this year. Andy, they're just yucking it up before their first-round match.
Yeah, Ben looked at Chris. He's like, you on Insta, bro? And then they went out and tried to beat each other's brains in. But look at this swipe down the line from Tennis Channel Zone, Chris Eubanks. And you know that he can serve inside out for it. It's not easy to run around a lefty serve on the ad side when it's kind of slicing towards the grandstand. But Ben Shelton found his return game, apparently found his grunt as well. But that's just a nasty serve right there, playing the little dropper. Eubanks runs it down, and Shelton says, whoop, I saw Sinner do this in Canada earlier today. Let's see if I can do it also. He's matched up well with Eubanks last year and some challengers continued that trend today. Going to go for 2 wins in a row on tour for the first time since Australia in his next round feed.
Good buds there. Nice win for Ben Shelton over Big Banks, giving love to the crowd in Cincinnati. Some other scores today. How about Emma Navarro coming through and making the main draw in qualies? Unfortunately, Taylor Townsend did not.
Yeah, I mean, these are always the most important matches when you're trying to get that foothold, get opportunities in the main draw. Nicely done by Emma Navarro coming back from being a set down against a big hitting Rebecca Marino. That is a terrific win in Cincinnati.
All right, another combined 1,000 week begins. So it is time for our quick hands questions with Chanda and Andy. And we're going to start with name a player or two that has surprised you this season. Roddick, a player or two that has surprised you this season.
Yeah, listen, I think, let's see if you can name the resume. Someone who was never in the top 100 in the world before March of this year, and then all of a sudden makes a Grand Slam quarterfinal, is ranked top 30, is in line to be seated at the U.S. Open, and started that run at the age of 28 years old. Our own Chris Eubanks, who we just saw go down to Ben Shelton. I don't know that I had it on my card that someone was going to go from a, you know, kind of a career 150 player to all of a sudden making deep runs in the second week of slams. Listen, I think there's some good juju going on from sitting next to Steve Weissman. Maybe he's learning from you, Steve.
He's not learning anything tennis-wise from me, but we're all very proud of what Big Banks has been able to accomplish. Who has stood out to you or surprised you?
It's tough to follow that because that would be my number one. But I'd say Marketa Vondrousova winning Wimbledon. I mean, Come on. Who had that on their card at the start of the year? Amazing. And the players that she had to beat to get that title, she was legit. And hopefully she'll have a good rest of the season.
All right. So we're going Vondrousova and of course, Chris Eubanks. Chan, I'm going to start with you on this one. Out of all the summer events that you played, which one had the hottest conditions?
I'm going to say where I practiced and lived in Lafayette, Louisiana. It was hot as all outdoors there. So whenever I went to play these summer events, I felt pretty good about it. New York had some pretty hot conditions, and I would have said Atlanta as well. Didn't play as much there when I was on tour. But definitely where I was coming from, I felt like I could handle anything.
All right. Lafayette, Louisiana getting the shout-out, Roddick. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know that I disagree with that much at all. D.C. was rather swampy, Steve. I do remember a match in Atlanta one time where kind of the only time my trainer ever got mad at me because I split sets against Rajiv Ram, and it was so hot he was mad at me because he was inconvenienced by the heat. I said, I don't feel great playing either. I remember I went inside and I had a bathroom between sets, and I went and just sat in the air conditioning for a good 2 or 3 minutes. Might have just saved the day. But I will tell you, I think once you get to the U.S. Open and that lead-up, if you play a healthy schedule, I think the conditions are rather benign compared to Washington, to Cincinnati, and Atlanta, where it kind of feels like you're just playing in a hairdryer.
D.C. is my hometown. Hazy, hot, and humid. It gets real, real sticky there. All right, Chanda, Iga ranked number one, 72 straight weeks, past Caroline Wozniacki for 10th on the all-time list. Will that streak get snapped this year? Will Aryna Sabalenka get up to one?
I think the streak will get snapped. You know, I think there's a couple of times where Sabalenka had some opportunities, a couple of things had to happen. But I think that is going to be the case a few more times. We'll see if Sabalenka can step up or maybe, you know, even Rybakina may have an opportunity. But I think it will. I think that's my, I'm going to go with
that. All right, Iga's not going to finish at number one. Andy, what do you think?
I didn't say that.
At some point this year, she's not going to be number one anymore.
I was about to say, to be fair, that was not the question. You almost threw me for a loop there, too, Steve.
Subjective.
I'm basically just basing this opinion now. Listen, if you're like, who is the most... who would you bet on to have the most points from now until the end of the year? I think Swiatek is the safest bet in tennis, right? But she has the most points coming off of the U.S. Open. So I think it's just a math test with the 52-week ranking system. Someone else might be able to snatch it away. Sabalenka, we forget how soon we forget that battling the serve at the end of last season, fixed it during the offseason, might be a little soft spot to put some points on the board. I think Swiatek is the best player in the world, but listen, it might trade hands a little bit before the end of the year.
Sabalenka right now about 1,000 points back of Swiatek, but Sabalenka made the semifinals, Cincinnati and the U.S. Open. Swiatek can gain some points in Cincinnati, obviously defending the title at the U.S. Open. We'll see. It could come down to the WTA finals.
It could.
And it could be for the year end. Number one. Andy, I'm going to go back to you for this one first. Which American man and woman will finish the year as the top-ranked U.S. player?
Yeah, I mean, Jess Pegula just padded the stats a little bit on the scoreboard. I think Jess Pegula will do that. I love the way Coco Gauff is playing. I just couldn't be more – it's as optimistic as I've been on Coco in a year, right? I just love the way she's playing. With the loss to Jess, played well in that match also. But I think Jess Pegula will lock that up, especially with the points from today. Maybe a little bit of an upset call here, but – maybe a Tommy Paul situation creeping in on Taylor Fritz, and a big foe obviously has semifinals to defend. at the U.S. Open, played well. Fritz and Tiafoe both played well in the fall last year. So I think it's a toss-up between the three of them. But Tommy Paul has inserted himself into that conversation.
TP, yeah, he is up to a career high himself. I think it's like 13 right now in the live rankings. Chanda, who do you have finishing at the top?
I mean, you should just move past to the next question. How can I mean, that's everything I would have said.
Oh, so you think TP as well over Foe and Fritz?
I would have said Foe. I would have, okay. That's the only little one I would have changed. However, he does have a lot of points, as Andy mentioned, to defend at the U.S. Open, getting to that semifinal. So that puts a little more pressure mathematically on that happening. But definitely it's those three in the mix. And I could very well see Tommy Paul kind of just leap and laughing them just a little bit with some of these results he's had.
Interesting. All right, so three guys, but we're all going Jess on the women's side, the career high three in the world. Yeah. Andy, which players feel due for a big title or surprising deep run?
A big title or surprising deep run, you're giving me a lot of leeway there. I'm going to go with my heart on this one, Steve. I want Ons Jabeur to get across that finish line. I want her to win a Grand Slam. I have so much respect for what she's done these last couple of seasons. I have so much respect for the way she carries herself. I have so much respect for how important she is to the game of tennis, being from Tunisia. So she is due for a big title, and I hope she gets it.
I'm going to say Coco Gauff. You know, obviously, she's gotten to a major final. She's got, you know, majors on her mind. You can see, you know, how much she wants it. I've been impressed with the improvements that she's made and how she has taken on the challenge, attacking the ball, especially off the forehand side. There's still some more work to do. But I feel, you know, she just won her biggest title in Washington, D.C., of course. But I think, you know, she may be due for one a little bit bigger. Now, whether that's a major, whether that's a 1,000, we'll see. But even just the continued improvements from where she is and where she's going, I think that absolutely is in the cards.
I love both of those picks. Well said. You all. And we haven't talked about it. Andy, you sent a message to Ons after Wimbledon?
I was just so heartbroken for her. And going into that as kind of the favorite, and I just said, like, weirdly, I feel like I am maybe specifically here to understand what you're going through in that moment, trying to get over that hurdle at Wimbledon. But as I told her in the message, I believe more in her ability to win Wimbledon someday than I ever believed in my own. I hope she gets it.
That's nice.
So cool of you to do that, Andy. All right, we got the best of the best coming up later on the show. Plus, we by popular demand, are going to talk more about the pros versus Joes. It's already gotten more than 1 million views on Twitter. So we'll get more from Roddick talking about why you have no shot at winning a game against the pro, and see if Chanda Rubin agrees with Petco and Roddick. Don't go anywhere.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Ruben Roddick Weissman back with you on TC Live. Biggest American Junior Tournament going on this week. For the boys, that means Kalamazoo, A-Teens Nationals, Lerner Tien winning for the second straight year, Chanda, earning himself a main draw wild card to the U.S. Open.
Lerner is a lefty, so I'm going to assume that's him, although I can't tell from
him.
Where the cameras are. However, I mean, what a huge opportunity. And, you know, you can understand why this event means so much to these kids. And I call them kids because we're
getting, 17.
We're up
Can't
there. But the second straight year winning, so he gets another opportunity to play in the U.S. Open main draw. That is huge. He had a tough loss against Kecmanovic last year. We were just talking about that. that. So maybe that experience is going to help him kind of get over the hump. And it's a lot of money, too. He's officially turned pro. So
that's right.
He's in the money now.
All 80 grand in that.
He's in the money.
He doesn't give anything to charity anymore.
And we love Claire V. Anyway, that story. I mean, she's just been winning titles, racking up trophies this year, won Wimbledon Juniors, won a Grand Slam doubles title as well, junior doubles title. So now getting this one and getting the opportunity at the US Open, just love that for her.
Yeah, Claire V's ascension has been really fast and awesome to watch. Puts her name on a trophy that includes our own Lindsay Davenport and Tracy Austin as well. Really special down there in San Diego. So those guys and girls will be playing with the top pros soon. They could actually win. But as we found out yesterday, you at home can't take a game. Here are the percentage of people who thought they could win a game against a professional tennis player.
This is insane. This is insanity. This is absolutely insane. There is no chance.
I was a professional tennis player. I'm competitive. I'm not going to give you a point for free.
I cannot win a game off of Novak Djokovic right now.
I like to put people in their place.
This is the dumbest segment we've ever done on this show.
Actually, it's one of the better ones.
Not one single point. Come at me.
I don't know what it says that the dumbest segment got the most views.
It's so good. I told you, Roddick. It's already been viewed more than 1.2 million times on Twitter. I mean, this was great stuff. It got everybody talking about it. This was your response to Tennis Channel's tweet here, Andy.
Yeah, a lot of Uncle Ricos out there thinking they could win a game on the pro tour. But listen, Steve, I'll admit it. I got a little emotional. It got away from me. Listen, some people thought it was funny. Some people still overvalued the way that they play tennis. But I've had a chance to calm down, and I've thought about it. And those people are still insane. It's ridiculous. They will not win a game against a pro. There is no chance. I'm not backing down. Save your Twitter comments. I know about this. Listen, I was an amateur, and I was a pro. You were only an amateur. Stop it. I know what the deal is here.
Let's go. I love that. I love that, Roddick. Stick to your guns. All right, we heard what Petco had to say yesterday, Chanda. Obviously, Andy's saying the same thing. What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm in the same boat, Steve, and I just had to stay calm because I have been retired longer than these two. So I have a little more perspective, and I don't get riled up as fast. But once I hit an amateur in the chest, I think they would back off. So that would be the way I would go with it, if you think that you are going to be able to get games. I think we also have to make a distinction between current pros, somebody like Novak Djokovic. Are you kidding? No, you're not getting a game. Versus maybe a pro who's been retired for 10 or 20 years and, you know, or just in a different space. Maybe you could come a little bit closer, but do not get it twisted. You're not winning a game against these top players you're watching on TV right now. It's not happening.
Don't get it twisted. Jeannie Bouchard responded to our tweet as well, said, people are so delusional. It's crazy.
I had a lot of pushback. Not one was from someone who's been on both sides of that coin. Not a single one. I'm sticking to it. Save it.
I've hit with Chanda. She hits the ball so hard still. Like, it's a joke. Like, you hit in the middle of the strings every single time. Nobody at home is taking a game. And what do you think, Chanda, about, because we talked a little bit about a point. Are we getting a point? Because Petco is set. I'm dropping golden sets.
You can get a point. I mean, everybody can trip or not, you know, get to ball. You can get lucky on a serve. It tips the net and dribbles over. Like, of course, you can get a point or two. You know, that can happen. But you have to understand, beyond just the physical skill set, it is the fact that you are challenging this person that has made their living playing. They are going to come after you then, and you are not going to win the way you think you are. I mean, you could challenge me, Steve, and I might change. I might flip, and all of a sudden, it's a new day.
Oh, I know it. I know. Don't get it twisted.
So this is part of the problem with this thought, is that you're challenging a professional, and it's going to end pretty badly.
The 55 and older crowd, Andy, I still can't get over that.
It's just absurd. Like, what 55, like, I need to meet these people, or maybe not, I don't know. Who's 57 years old and was like, I mean, I you know, listen, Novak's been pretty good for the last 15 years, but I'm just saying, like, it looks like a 5-minute sample size. I think I could get him. You can't stop. Like, this is ridiculous. I'll just tell you, I stink at tennis now. And I still promise I'd be a real problem to deal with in some member guest events for my neighbor Bill, all right? I'd be a problem.
I mean, can we just talk about, though, the last line? 20% of U.S. players would give up their life savings for a spot in a grand slam. I mean, you're giving up your life savings.
For 80 grand.
Wait, but no, are they getting the U.S. Open money? Because that's just the spot. That's not the money. You give up your life savings for an opportunity that you cannot come close to winning.
To be embarrassed.
Well, I can actually, that's the least embarrassing of all the stats that are up here by far. Because what it does is say that we should be thankful, Chanda. We actually got to do it. And I know I'm mad. And some people are like, listen, you're cocky because you think you can beat your neighbor up the street. Okay, maybe. But I promise you, for every moment of my life, I've been incredibly thankful for the opportunity. And it humbles me to see that so many of you would want to be in that situation and makes me proud. I know I can speak for Chanda and the rest of us players. We don't take a minute of it for granted, but we'll still kick your butt.
And we talk about Novak, but like, you're not getting a game off of Arthur Fiess. You're not getting a game off of Kayla Day. Like, it's not just Novak. Like, any of these top 100 pros, like, you're not getting a game.
No, I mean, I wouldn't get a game off these guys playing now. I mean, honestly, I would struggle. I couldn't even get to some of the balls. That 26-shot rally between Tommy Paul and Yannick Sinner, are you kidding me? Mm-mm. It's crazy talk.
No. All right, keep that discussion going on the social media. All you keyboard warriors out there that think you can get games against pros, it's not going to happen. The best of the best from the best is what's next. So more reason to realize that you can't do these things. Welcome back, as we do every week. We've had a couple 1,000-level events on the ATP and WTA. Here are the best of the best, men's and women's. We start at number 5, Andy. So great to see Caroline Wozniacki back on tour. This was her first round match.
Welcome back, Caro. And one of the things that was her calling card is getting in and out of the corners, the hustle, cover line like you're supposed to, but not against Caro. She will flip that angle. Great to see her back and in form this week.
Then at number 4, Chanda, opening night session. What a match between Big Foe and Milos Raonic.
This was incredible, some of the shot making, but the speed of Francis Tiafoe. He hits the net, but he hits the right part of the net, by the way, so he was able to win that point. There was some discussion after, but incredible get against Raonic, who must have thought he had that point won, but not so against Big Foe.
Not so. And by the way, that part of the net is invisible, we found out. At number 3, Andy, our first tweener on the countdown, and it's of the lobbing variety.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of different types of tweener in this top 5 list, not to give too much away. Holger Rune didn't have the week of his life, didn't get out of the first round, taking the loss to Marco Giron, but doesn't mean he can't have a little fun along the way and get the crowd into it. Stand up for shots like that, Toronto.
Couple of dames in our top 5. Wozniacki and Aruna. And then at number 2, Chanda. Gael Monfils is in a highlight, and he's not the hot shot.
Are you kidding me? He just fell down at the baseline, hit the ball, and got back up and continued the point. And Monfils had to be thinking, wait a minute, I'm used to doing that. What just happened? But he's still in the end able to win the point, and I love it. This was a lucky loser, Vukic, who was able to take advantage of his opportunities, and that was an opportunity there, and he didn't let it go past. Amazing stuff.
Don't get him on a dance floor, but gets right back up and wins the point. Then at number 1, Roddick, we see a lot of tweeners, but this one was special.
Yeah, look at every amateur tennis player out there saying they can win a point. Like, he was literally 12 feet behind the baseline and hit a laser. He meant to hit this up the line. So look at the stab volley, first of all. Great little shot from TP. Alcaraz, 12 feet behind, sticks it into a 1-foot-by-1-foot thing through his legs. Absolute absurdity. That's why they're pros, Steve.
And that's why he is the number 1 ranked man in all the land. All right, Cincinnati's Monday schedule. Of course, we keep going here on Tennis Channel, 11 a.m. Eastern. Chanda's got five on Sloane Stephens getting the win tomorrow. Venus Williams getting the wild card into Cincy. Sebi Korda in action. Grigor Dimitrov taking on Alexander Zverev. That's a good first-round matchup. And Wozniacki against Svitolina. A couple of mamas going at it in Mason, Ohio as well. You take a look at these, Chanda. Which one stands out to you most?
There's some big-time matches from round one. Looking forward to so many of them. Of course, Svitolina Wozniacki. I mean, it's another test for Caroline Wozniacki, who was amazing in Canada. But I want to give Venus Williams some love. I mean, that's a tough match, and you're going to get tough matches when you come in not seeded, needing wild cards. But she just seems so close in some of these matches. She lost a tough one to Madison Keys. Couldn't quite get that second set. She was right there. And I feel she's maybe due for one of these wins. So hopefully she can stay healthy, be feeling good from the start, and give it a good go.
It's Queen V. It's the Queen City. I don't know. Something could be going on there. Roddick, what storylines are you looking forward to as we head to the Masters 1000 in Cincy?
Yeah, or it could be just coincidence with their names. But, I think
we love you, Andy.
I love you guys too. This is good. We come to work and we laugh a little bit. But as you're showing that graphic, the first thing I'm thinking is Borna Coric coming in, having to defend 1,000 points from last year, and then having to match up with Seb Korda, who is obviously the real deal. Just a different type of pressure set going in. You know, you feel like you have to defend something. Paul Anacone talks a little bit about that. Don't say the word defend. It puts you in a bad frame of mind. But Coric, as quickly as he went up the rankings last year, he could kind of fall back down. So interested to see how he comes out mentally defending those points.
And Caroline Garcia as well on the women's side. So
that's right.
We'll see. We kind of forgot about who won Cincy last year, Garcia and Coric.
I mean, that was the start of Caroline Garcia's huge run and back into the top of the game. So we'll see where she is on that.
There's a main draw match right now on T2. Big Foe in action against Talon Griekspoor. So once you click here, go over to T2. Watch a little Francis Tiafoe in action. It's been a great week, Andy. We'll do it again tomorrow for Cincy.
I will see you there.
All right, as we leave you, there are your champions. Yannick Sinner, first Masters 1000 title, gets it done in Toronto. He's up to a career-high 6 in the world, and then in Montreal, all eyes on Jessie Pegula. Her second 1000-level title, first of the year, career-high number 3. Thank you so much for tuning in to TC Live. We'll see you tomorrow.